CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, a veteran Afghan reporter. And Anatole, it is early for lessons learned, but speculation has to start with the Afghan veterans. The voices here in the United States, again, are heavily political and partisan at this moment because of the Biden administration, because of the last election. However, you have many Afghan veterans who don't have a similar filter, and also the British public, the history of Britain. This is your fourth Anglo-Afghan war. So are there lessons that were learned in the past and were ignored? This time is different. Trees grow to heaven. That are now useful again. Any in particular about committing the military to what is it? The graveyard of empires is the trope.
Well, I think that's just it. I mean, if we've learned anything, it's what, you know, we should have learned before going in. The Soviets should have learned before going in. The British should have learned before going in for the second time, which is just don't do it. Afghanistan is an extremely recalcitrant and resistant territory to try to invade, to conquer, to run and to reform and develop. So I think, you know, we should learn this not just about Afghanistan, but I do think that this has been a tremendous argument against attempts at democratic state building plus military intervention. Because, when you come to think about it, it's, you know, obviously it's not just Afghanistan. It was also Iraq. Somalia, Libya were somewhat different, but certainly our interventions there most assuredly did not lead to the development of liberal democracy. We just are not capable of doing it, it seems to me. And, you know, you've got all these people like Max Boot who say, Brett Stevens, we should have stayed there for generations in order to, build a democratic state. Hello, so you, Mr. Boot, you, Mr. Stevens, you were prepared to live there for generations, or years or months or even days to build these Afghan states. I do not think so. You were always trying to send somebody else to do it. And, I think this is, the lesson of our NGOs, our aid organizations, especially the Europeans, but obviously the Americans in the lead as well. We just do not have it in us to make this kind of effort. I mean, I'm very sorry to have to say that, but I think the evidence is we don't, and we shouldn't pretend that we do.
A detail, because I've traveled into the area, not to Afghanistan. I've traveled to Tashkent a couple of times, and Almaty, and Baku, and the region. I've learned to understand that they're greatly ambitious for the future, prosperity for the peoples of Central Asia. I also met people from Afghanistan, the middle class, the prospering middle class from Kabul, and telling me that there is another Afghanistan inside Afghanistan. So in this last couple of minutes, where do those middle class people, those educated Afghans, where do they go? Do they exist in the diaspora forever, for generations, waiting for the medieval part of Afghanistan to ebb? Or do they involve themselves again from the outside and hope for better days of governance?
Well, I mean, it very much depends how the Taliban behave. Whether the pragmatists, not exactly moderates, but pragmatists in the Taliban leadership realize that they desperately need such people, to help them run the Afghan state. If they do, then the Taliban are going to have to create a certain, free cultural space in which these people, can live and operate. If the Taliban don't do that, then yes, I mean, all of these people will leave or try to leave, and will settle in the West, I assume, permanently.
And that is grim. That's a grim prospect to live for generations. Of course, it happened to the Russians in 1917 and 1919, so we could reproduce that model. But you've met these Afghans as well, and I want to speak up for them. This is not one culture. This is not all medieval. These were sophisticated players with English and German and French. You've met them, Anatole, and they're watching this, they're watching this even more closely than we are. We have about 30 seconds. Your measure so far of this tragedy, was it avoidable? Could we have stepped aside from this? 30 seconds.
I mean, once we were in there, it was going to be extremely difficult. There was a possibility at the very beginning of doing something better, but that would not have been through building liberal democracy. It would have been trying to build some kind of tribal and warlord consensus involving bits of the Taliban. For ideological reasons, we wouldn't look at that option, but I still think that would have been the best way to go because democratic state building has failed.
Anatole Lieven of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, observing fog of war, fog of diplomacy. When we next speak, it will be past the deadline and the undiscovered country. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.